The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You may be seated. One of the things I love in the scriptures, and really in a lot of theology for that matter, is how much can be said in so little words. The gospel reading for today, this Sunday of the church year, this third Sunday of Easter, is pretty short in terms of its length, but it's rich in proclamation of the gospel for you. And this is something God reminds you of and preaches to you this day. It's important, and it's really the gospel itself. Jesus reveals to you who he is and what he does. And he doesn't just do it in some general abstract way, but he tells you what is the case. So, and when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he tells you what the good shepherd does. He has laid down his life for you. And in that, there's a confidence that he gives you, because you see his faithfulness, you see his mercy, you see his grace and his love towards you, because he has laid down his own very life for you. And it's completed. And him crucified and risen, you see that you now stand forgiven and that you are one of his sheep, even as you have been baptized into Christ, crucified and risen with him. So Jesus says in the gospel reading today, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The notion of laying down his life for you, or literally in Greek, on your behalf, there's a benefit for that "for you" language, shows you what makes the death of Jesus different than any other death. Romans 5 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have now received reconciliation." And you see, this is what makes Jesus not just a good shepherd, but the good shepherd. And to be his sheep then is to be his own, and to know him, and to be known by him. So the death of Christ benefits you, because without it you are left under God's wrath and condemnation. You need one who is good, one who is noble, one who is true and trustworthy in his life and death, and one who alone has the authority to lay down his life for your benefit and to raise it up again. So to be a sheep of Jesus is to be redeemed by his life. It's to be redeemed by something that we can't do on our own, because we are defenseless against sin, death, and the devil. But your life has been bought with a price. In our day and age, we think so much about being individuals or being our own people, but the truth of the matter is that in our sin, we are slaves under the reign of sin, death, and the devil. The reading from 1 Peter refers to this near the end when we heard, "For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Straying sheep get themselves in trouble, and by nature, without a shepherd, go away from where they need to be grazing. And we all understand this. We all get it, that to be a sheep of God is to hear his voice and follow him. But look how easily we are tempted to throw that out the window and follow the voice of another shepherd. It happens in our own lives when we start to think we are independent, that we don't need a shepherd leading us. We think we can determine our lives and even our existence, or how we are going to define the Christian faith in ourselves. This past weekend, I was talking about this with these college students, about how the very nature of who we are as creatures of God is that God has created us. We aren't our own, but God has made us his own, that he has redeemed us by his own blood. We belong to another. I said this after I almost got kicked out when the pastor, in his having his Michigan cup and arranged the seating into a horseshoe, and I said, as an Ohioan, I appreciate the horseshoe shape, and then he about threw me out. But that's another story. But our existence, our very being, belongs to God. But notice something about this too. Jesus doesn't call you a shepherd. You're sheep. You must be led. You must be fed. You must be protected. We need to listen and go where the shepherd leads, or be ready to be wolf feed, ready to be torn to shreds. And this is why Jesus warns the sheep. He warns you not to wander off searching for what you think may be greener pastures. Don't be fooled. The temptation for us, too, is to lose sight of this in our lives and turn the good shepherd into something that he isn't. The shepherd leads and the sheep follow. It's not the other way around. And this is why this whole discussion in this short text even brings up hired hands. Because a hired hand does those who pay him what they tell him to do, or whatever keeps him safe. His interest is simply in his own job security, his own life, his own sake. His concern isn't necessarily for the sheep. So long as they are happy and have what they want him to give them, then he keeps being the hired hand. But when he feels threatened, the hired hand doesn't lay down his life for the sheep. He doesn't suffer for their sake. He asserts his own will. He demands respect. He attacks the sheep rather than step in front and take the blows. He does the very opposite of what you heard in that epistle reading about Jesus, who, when reviled, did not revile in return. When threatened, did not threaten. But we want counterfeit shepherds. We want to find our comfort and trust not in the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, but rather one who we can pick to represent our voice, our ideals, stroke our egos, or any number of things. And it's not always as blatant as rejecting Jesus, but can be seen in other ways where we place our fear, love, and trust in persons, institutions, nations, leaders, or ideas that try to put themselves on the same level as God. You don't have to search far or long to find hired hands. With everything being live streamed now and social media, it's even easier. It takes you all of 5 seconds. But Jesus, and he alone, is the one who has laid down his life for you and for your benefit. He's the only one who can do it. He's the only one who gives you eternal life. And so Jesus cares for you and calls you to repentance. He's the one who cares for you to call you to listen to his word, even when it seems so foreign to the world today, because his words are the words of eternal life. He is the one who knows the wolf is coming, who sees the wolf coming, and when the wolf does come, doesn't flee. Rather, he lays down his life, and he guards and protects you with his rod and his staff. And he is the one who gives you life. A way that vividly preaches that Jesus is your good shepherd is when you look at the death of a Christian. When life is gone from the body, there's only one place you find hope and life in the midst of death. And death, the death of a Christian, there is life because of the good shepherd laying down his life. What only matters in death is being a sheep of the good shepherd. Only the good shepherd has laid down his life for the sheep, and only has he taken it up again and will raise you up on the last day. In death, the sheep of God are clothed with the good shepherd. So when you consider something like the Christian funeral, one of the images that you see then is when you have the Christian who has departed this life in the faith laying before the altar of God. And what covers the casket is a white funeral pall, pointing to the Christian's baptism, where sin was washed away, where he was rescued from death and the devil, and where he was given eternal salvation and clothed with Christ and his righteousness. And it invokes this image of being a sheep. It invokes the image that this person, even in death, belongs to the good shepherd. Because knowing the good shepherd is everything. So when the Christian lays down in death and closes his eyes to be with his Lord, it doesn't matter who you are, where you live, what country you have allegiance to, none of those things save you. It's only the good shepherd who has laid down his life for his sheep and has called you his own and has washed you and clothed you with himself. So God calls you to follow the good shepherd. He calls you to listen to what he says as his sheep hear his voice and follow him. So this Easter season, eternal life is in the good shepherd who gives it to his sheep as the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the one who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. He's the one who has laid down his life for you by his death on the cross, and the one who gives you that life in the waters of your baptism. In life, he is your good shepherd. In death, he is your good shepherd. For eternity, he is your good shepherd. So Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So much is said in so little words. But Jesus is faithful in all that he says and does. It's out of his great mercy toward you that he has done this and gives you forgiveness, life, and salvation. And think about that too. Jesus knows you. Even as the Father knows him and he knows the Father, Jesus knows you. He knows who you are. He knows his sheep. He knows everything about you and he loves you. And he continues to be your shepherd and shepherd you through this life. He gives you his word and sacraments by which he feeds you and strengthens you. The Holy Spirit calls you his own, gathers you together as his sheep, as the flock of God, the church. And you have this pasture that you feed on as you hear his word and receive his gifts. And he graciously gives them out in this green pasture of this fallen world. When all around you is dying, God gives you life because he has first laid it down for you. And with that, you know what else is true. It's Easter and Jesus has risen from the grave and he draws you to himself. He leads you through life and shepherds you as only he can do. And so the days of grazing are long, but the food is plentiful. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, gives you also this image of what you will have when Jesus raises you from your grave and you stand before him. In Revelation 7, we hear, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Fix your eyes on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and is your good shepherd. Trust him as the one who has stepped in front of the wolf so that you are kept safe. See him crucified and behold his love for you and have the forgiveness he has accomplished. See him risen from the grave and know that he will shepherd you even through the valley of the shadow of death into eternal life. All of this is yours as you are baptized into Christ, as he has placed his holy name upon you, as he has covered you with himself and clothed you as a sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. This is your Lord who clearly proclaims this to you and who you are to him. So thanks be to God today for his abundant mercy. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. What a joy it is to have such a shepherd who does know you, his sheep, and you know him, your good shepherd. And you are his, and he is yours, now and forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.